This is an AI-generated summary of Hansard for Thursday, 23rd May, 1901. The House of Representatives. Edmund Barton, Protectionist Minister for External Affairs, opened the debate by proposing that tomorrow's light business paper be treated as a private day in observance of Queen Victoria's birthday. Joseph Cook of the Free Trade Party asked about Tuesday's schedule, and Barton agreed to discuss it with members. William Macmillan suggested adjourning until Wednesday so that members could attend celebrations in Sydney. Barton promised to consult with honourable members, provided that public business was not impacted, and proposed closing the debate on the address in reply that evening. Arthur Smith interjected that no conditions should be attached, and Macmillan assured that speeches would be kept short. Sir Edward Braddon then questioned the Prime Minister regarding the Minister of Defence's threat to undo the Federation if the Transcontinental Railway was not built, asking whether measures would be taken to allay unrest. Barton deferred detailed answers until the debate's end. Joseph Cook countered that this was a matter of privilege, and Alfred Conroy pressed the issue further, questioning the minister's warning, given his responsibility as head of the defence force, and asked if the citizen soldiery would be armed to meet the threat, or if a residence in the Pacific Islands had been chosen for the Emperor of the West, should exile be necessary. William Wilkes of Daly resumed the debate on the Governor-General's speech, recalling earlier salutations to the Speaker and emphasising looming constitutional dangers by referencing the Minister of Defence's rebellious spirit. Joseph Cook declared that the Minister's remarks amounted to treason. Wilkes recalled the Prime Minister's stern warnings against anyone who might stab the Constitution, and insisted that more than an apology was required for the Minister's actions. He then turned to the fiscal question, highlighting that the needs of every part of Australia must be considered, pointing out a population decline in Victoria relative to New South Wales, and stressing the importance of protecting local industries and goods. Several members interjected on issues such as labour strikes, wage disputes between mechanics and labourers, land sales, and fiscal policies, with debates on whether wages were too low and if protective measures should remain in place. The discussion soon expanded to include racial concerns. Wilkes stated that the issue was not solely industrial, but also racial, noting that during the Commonwealth celebrations, hundreds of Chinese were paraded as a special feature. He then discussed measures such as poll taxes and restrictions on undesirable aliens, with Barton confirming that such measures were intended to prevent the introduction of other undesirable immigrants. Debates also touched on the balance between protecting local industries with bonuses versus relying on customs duties, with Barton questioning if bonuses merely coddled an industry, while Wilkes maintained that bonuses allowed assistance to be measured more accurately. Barton shared letters exchanged with the Premier of Victoria, Peacock, regarding the use of Parliament buildings by the Commonwealth Government. Thomas Ewing of Richmond and William Macmillan engaged in a detailed discussion of Australia's fiscal policy, customs and excise duties. Joseph Cook repeatedly attacked the tariff system, arguing that the tariff presented to the people as low was, in fact, highly protective. Debate continued with interjections on the sufficiency of wage payments, the adequacy of representation from different states, and the ability of New South Wales to support its workers against unfair wage practices. Members also debated the proper location for the federal capital, emphasising that it should be situated away from centres of entrenched vested interests. Barton dismissed suggestions that any demand had been placed on the government regarding this matter, with allied members urging caution in believing every circulating tale. At one point, Barton exclaimed, "Hear, hear," in reference to a suggestion that the Parliament building need not be elaborate, an amendment seconded by the member for Parramatta, though not everyone agreed. The debate further explored local antagonisms between the states. While Thomas Ewing pressed that representatives from every part of the continent must understand that wisdom in Australia is not confined to one state, Joseph Cook continued to challenge the protective tariff, which he accused of masking its true seditious nature. There were sharp exchanges over the fiscal details, including customs revenue, land sales, and the measures necessary to support fair wages. As the session drew to a close, Sir Edward Braddon lamented ministers' reluctance to speak, and Barton expressed his anger over the earlier provocative remarks. Attention then turned to the Governor-General's speech, and the manner in which ministers had drafted it, with Braddon noting that the speech failed to address serious matters such as the exclusion of certain immigrants. Discussions briefly touched on women's eligibility to vote and the potential use of an income tax, while Barton confirmed that a bill addressing these issues had already been proposed. Finally, Samuel Margur of Victoria moved that the debate be adjourned. Barton proposed an adjournment until Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was also brief mention of the issue regarding the price at which Hansard would be supplied to members. With these matters noted, the House agreed to adjourn, leaving several issues to be revisited in future sessions. The Senate. On May 23, 1901, the Senate resumed debate on the address in reply to the Governor-General's speech. The discussion opened with consideration of an amendment proposed by Senator Millen on May 22 regarding the prohibition of further Kanaka labour importation. Senator Josiah Simon of South Australia emphasised the value of a debate that allowed an interchange of views among members. He expressed gratitude for the debate's tone, temper, vigour and intelligence, celebrated the Union as the crowning glory of Queen Victoria's reign, and reminded everyone that the Constitution was conceived, framed and enacted by the people. He agreed with much of the Governor-General's speech and declared, "All will experience a sense of great pride in being members of the first Parliament of the Commonwealth of Australia." The debate soon turned to matters of executive and judicial appointments. Senator William Higgs interjected with a question about whether there should be more than one minister in the Senate, and Senator Simon responded affirmatively. Senator Richard O'Connor of New South Wales argued that the fittest man should be chosen for any job regardless of his state, and urged that the government be open to temperate criticism regarding appointments. O'Connor also divided the Governor-General's speech into mechanical and controversial sections and pledged to assist in carrying the machinery bills into effect. He went on to advocate for federalising Australia's railways and establishing an interstate commission to secure freedom and equality of trade for each state. Senator Simon Fraser remarked that such railway federalisation was easier said than done, while Senator John Downer concurred that the Constitutional Convention must consider the Constitution as a whole. Senator Henry Dobson questioned whether cutting off the right of appeal would do an injustice to the Australian people. Senator Simon noted that the Imperial Parliament had taken such steps because the Australian people had accepted them. He explained that the Imperial Government had empowered Parliament to limit appeals to the Privy Council and to prevent any appeal on a constitutional question unless certified by the High Court of Australia. Judicial matters continued to spark debate when colonial judges were proposed to be appointed as peers to make the appellate court more acceptable to the states, a proposal that Simon dissented from. Senator Fraser remarked, "We do not want peers," and Senator O'Connor emphasised that no judicial office holder should ever be placed in a position to speak politically for Australia. The conversation then shifted to electoral issues and national suffrage. Senator David Charleston raised the question of whether uniform suffrage would interfere with state rights, to which Senator Simon replied that it was a national issue and that the sooner uniform adult suffrage was adopted, the better. He also mentioned a remark about the isolation of Western Australia, suggesting that such comments were likely intended as a joke and should not be taken as a serious part of the debate. A significant portion of the debate concerned the coloured labour question and the responsibilities associated with the Northern Territory of South Australia. Senator Seaman expressed that he wished to follow government policy on the issue, but called for consideration of South Australia's responsibilities in the Northern Territory. An enterprise that had already burdened South Australia with an annual cost, but had also opened the territory with a transcontinental railway for the benefit of the whole continent. Perhaps the most vigorous exchange of the day involved the issues of free trade versus protection. Senator Simon clearly defined free trade as minimizing customs duties so that no duty was used for protective purposes, adding, "Protection means taking a larger price out of the pockets of the consumer." His remarks drew interjections from several senators. Senator Anderson Dawson asked, "What is the difference between a revenue tariff and protection?" To which Simon retorted, "A moderate free trader." The discussion evolved to note that free trade had served England well for 60 years, while protectionist measures could blur towards direct taxation or even prohibition. The debate ranged over tariffs, revenue considerations, and the impact on consumers and manufacturers. Senator Downer cautioned that every step taken towards protection risked receding from revenue and harming state interests. Labour issues were also woven into the debate. There were brief exchanges about how tea, coffee, and chocolate were products of coloured labour. Senators interjected with single-word remarks such as tea and butter, as they considered the diverse contributions of labourers to the economy. Senator Best argued that Australian food, clothing, boots, and shoes cost only slightly more under protection, prompting Simon to suggest, "Then take the protection off," emphasising that the object of protective duties was to preserve Australian markets for Australian people. Senator William Higgs from Queensland highlighted the protections afforded to the legal profession through strict regulations and pointed out the challenges posed by competing with the cheap labour of China and Japan. Comparing wages across different countries and states, he emphasised the need for an 8-hour work system and modern conveniences for workers. His comments on wages in Queensland contrasted sharply with those in other countries, where blacksmiths earned significantly less per day. Other issues raised included banking laws, old age pensions, and the status of the capital. It was noted with satisfaction that the Prime Minister had declared the capital site would remain federal property for all time, and that a leasing system would replace outright alienation of the land. The discussion also touched on parliamentary procedures regarding money bills and appeals to the Privy Council. Senator Downer summed up by expressing concern that rejecting the amendment regarding Kanaka labour would place New South Wales at a disadvantage when restrictions were eventually lifted. In closing, as debate began to wind down, senators discussed the schedule for further meetings, with Senator O'Connor confirming that debates would continue on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to conclusively address the remaining issues. The House then adjourned with the understanding that these discussions were laying the foundation for the future legislative and judicial framework of the Commonwealth of Australia. This has been a LaunchLab production. LaunchLab.com.au